With over 500 high-performance products in the EvoStick range, you may need a bigger van. EvoStick, the strongest adhesives you can buy.
Hello and welcome to this month's EvoStick Division 1 show. I'm your host Ben Hughes, and coming up in this week's show, we'll be hearing from the playoff winners Spennymoor Town and Colville Town, as well as reviewing the season that's just been with the Mid-Cheshire Guardians' very own Andrew Simpson. All of that and a little bit more on this month's EvoStick Division 1 show. So welcome everybody to the last EvoStick Division 1 show of the year. Coming up, we've got interviews with Tommy Brookbanks at Colville Town and Jason Ainsley at Spennymoor Town. But before all of that, well, what a season it's been in both Division 1 North and South. And joining me to chew the crud, as it were, we're joined by the welcome return of Andrew Simpson from the Mid-Cheshire Guardian. Hello, Andy, how are you?
I'm all right. How are you?
I'm all good, mate. I'm all good. So it has been a very, 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 very good season in Division 1 North and South. I feel like we've got very worthy champions in both. We've got Stafford Rangers, who've been top of Division 1 South all the way through the season, and Warrington Town, who've really fought tooth and nail to stay at the top and then sprung away from Northwich Victoria as the season went on.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, we can accurately say it's been an unprecedented season, Division 1 North, because Warrington have broke the record for points scored in a season since the Northern Premier League split into Division 1 North and South, and they've also broke the record for the number of goals scored. So there can surely be no debate that the best team has won the title in Division 1 North, and they've won it in real comfort in the end, which is something we touched on last month, that we thought January, February time, we were going to have a genuine title race. It looked like they were going to go head-to-head with Northwich, and obviously then the points deduction for Northwich ended the hopes that they had of winning the title. It may well have been that Warrington would have gone on to win it anyway, because obviously 34 wins from 42 games is extraordinary achievement. So for me, absolutely worthy champions, and like I say, record breakers. I don't think anybody can have any arguments for that. It did go to the wire in Division 1 South, though, didn't it?
It did, very much so.
Stafford got over the line, but only on the last afternoon of the season, so there was genuine excitement there.
Well, last week, we did speak to Neil Kitchen last week, and we said, how do you keep the lads' minds on that last game of the season, because it looked like Shaw Lane we're gonna do it, Stafford Rangers held the nerve. So both Stafford Rangers and Warrington going up. This feels like, as well, no disrespect to previous champions, but it feels like both sets of champions from Division 1 this season going into next season are going to make a real big splash and potentially go up in and challenge for the playoffs, if not the title, perhaps.
Yeah, I think that's a really good shout, Ben, for different reasons. I mean, Warrington, again, to touch on kind of this history-making theme, I mean, they've never played in the Northern Premier League's top flight before, so this is a genuine first for them. But like I say, they go up, but they're really well equipped. A lot of their key players in their squad have played and done it, if you like, in the Premier Division and at higher levels. And also, I don't think it's unfair to say they've had the biggest budget in Division 1 North, are likely to have a decent budget again next season. So I think people should keep an eye on them and expect them to make an impact in the Premier Division. With Stafford, there is a contrast. I mean, Stafford, historically a really big name in non-league football, not that long ago, were playing in the Conference National, and obviously the last few seasons have been really a struggle for them. But Gates are really healthy down at Marston Road. I think they've got a good manager who also does know the Premier Division. He's had success in it with Rush All Olympic. So well set in that respect. He'll know what it takes to be successful in that division. And it is the old cliche about a sleeping giant, but I think Stafford, it's fair to kind of put them in that bracket, and they should be playing at least at this level. So I think we reasonably should expect them to be certainly in the top half, and like you say, maybe challenging for a playoff place off the bat. And how many times have we seen it with teams that come up, they have that winning mentality, and they're able to go on and have a really good first season. And I think those two are well set to do exactly that.
And it'll be very interesting to look at for next season. But also joining those two big names is, Colville Town and Spennymoor Town, winners of the playoffs. Just firstly, a mention for Colville Town. They beat Shaw Lane Aquaforce, who I think to many outsiders would have picked them to maybe get automatic promotion this season with the names that they've got there over at Barnsley for Shore Lane Aquaforce. But Colville Town have done it. And this week, I spoke to Colville Town's Tommy Brookbanks from his summer retreat in Spain. So, to the winners of this season's Division 1 South playoffs now, we're joined on the phone from his summer retreat in Spain by the manager of this year's champions, Colville Town. It's Tommy Brookbanks. Hello, Tommy. How are you?
I'm good, Ben. How are you?
I'm all right, mate. A big congratulations, then, on Saturday's win against Shore Lane Aquaforce. What's your mood like after that?
I'm still getting back down to everything, Ben. It's just been a fantastic few days. Absolutely superb. You know, all the goodwill messages. And it's just been, you know, superb.
We said going into this one, obviously, Shore Lane were the favourites. But then again, the smart money might have been on Colville because yourselves, you've been third now. It feels like you've been third since September, I'm going to suggest. So you were always kind of geared up for this, weren't you, in a way?
Yeah, we was, Ben. I mean, you know, I think we were second right up till, from the start of the season, right up till around February time. And it was the only time in February where we lost two games on the bounce. And, you know, it was basically the only time where we had so many players missing. And that 6 points basically cost us that second place spot, what we've been in most of the season. So really, one start of the season, our aim was to win the league. And two, if we couldn't win the league, then it was to go up by the playoffs. And we fancied ourselves from day one, to be honest, Ben.
And when you go into the playoffs last Tuesday, if I could take your memory back, I mean, Basford United, they've been a very good side all season. And you just brushed them to one side, 5-0.
Yeah. You know, I mean, we went in strong against Stafford. You know, we made sure the momentum was there. And if you actually look at our record over the course of the season, Ben, the top 10 sides, we've been the strongest out of the top 10 head-to-head. Our big problem throughout the season has been dropping the odd blip against one of the lower teams, you know. So we really fancied our chances. And, Basford, I mean, what a fantastic season they've had. But as soon as the draw were made, we know we did fancy ourselves, especially at our place where we've only lost twice all season.
And what was your secret to take on Shore Lane Aquaforce, who have been the big spenders of the league this season? What was your secret going into it?
Times now, and we've never lost to them. We drew at their place. We missed a penalty. We hit the post at the end. We was well on top of our place, 3-2 flat at them. We went to watch them ahead of the game a couple of times, ahead of the playoff game. And, you know, our idea was that, you know, they do like to get it in the box very quickly. Was first to try and win everything and then get the ball down and be fast counter-attacking against them, which is, you know, that is our game through and through. So I think, you know, both teams have sort of suited one another, as tough as it sounds, but, you know, that's how we worked it out, really.
Well, it's a cracking result, Tommy, as most pundits and most observers would suggest. It's to beat Shore Lane away from home 3-1 is superb in the playoff final in Division 1 South. Thoughts now turn then to next season, and obviously you're on your summer vacation now, so I'm sure you've had thoughts about this already, but you must look at teams like Sutton Coldfield, who went up through the playoffs last season from Division 1 South, and fellow Leicester side Barwell, for example, how it could shape up next season for Colville.
Yeah, I mean, we've also looked at Cologne, obviously, went up as runaway champions, and, you know, they stayed up by one point. You know, I think Sutton Coldfield did fantastically well, as did Barwell. I think the one thing they looked at the Sutton Coldfield situation, Ben, they went up and they didn't change too much. You know, they didn't go bringing 9-10 players in. You know, they kept roughly the nucleus and just added to it. Where Michelob, there seemed to be a lot of change, which I think affected them early doors. And so what we've done basically, you know, what we think we've done right, we've got 9 or 10 of the players already signed up, ready on contracts for next season. And hopefully we'll tie the rest up this week. So it will be a matter, Ben, of just adding the 3 or 4 we need to go a bit stronger, because we are a very young squad, so these boys are going to get better anyway. It's a matter of just, you know, we've been preparing for a couple of months, to be honest, Ben.
And off the pitch as well, the Colville Town, obviously there's you've had stabs at trying to get through the playoffs over recent years. This is it's now promotion time. Is everything all set off the pitch as well, ready for some big crowds next season?
Yeah. I mean, the beauty is, you know, we've been having a new structure built since perhaps before, to be honest with you. New dressing rooms, hospitality, managers, officers. So that will be ready for the pre-season anyway, so that's already geared up. And there's other things we've planned off the pitch, which we hope to announce in the coming months. But, we've got the academy running, the youth running superbly well now. In the 19 months I've been here with Mark and the chairman, we seem to have got things moving in the right direction, Ben.
Well, once again, Tommy, a big congratulations. I hope Steve Cartwright's got his drum ready as well for next season. That's going to be very helpful. Tommy Brookburn.
We could do it, I think, a drum's just not enough, is it?
No, it's not. And he's got enough on his plate. We the club obviously needs more drummer boys. That's what it needs. Anyway.
Exactly. That's what we need.
Tommy Brookbank's manager at Colville Town. Many congratulations on behalf of all the listeners, and thanks for joining us this week on the MPL show. Much appreciated.
No problem, Ben. We'll take care, buddy.
I mean, just a quick point on that. I mean, on the Shoreline thing, very similar to Blyth Spartans, and we touched on this in the MPL main MPL show a number of times in during the running. That how often does, when we've seen it, a two horse race, does the team that ends up being picked for the title then not have enough in the tank to make it through the playoffs? And we've seen that with Blyth and with Shoreline, who entered the last couple of weeks of the season, or even the last day of the season in the case of Shoreline, with a genuine chance of winning the title, and they've not ended up being promoted. So that kind of old stat remains intact for two of the three divisions. That's different for Spennymoor. And again, we talked about that, didn't we, on the previous editions of this show, where because they've not been in contention for the title, they've not really been challenging Warrington. It was never really likely that they were going to be close to Warrington in the running. They were unaffected by that kind of disappointment of not finishing first, and lo and behold, they were able to continue that great run they had in 2016 to go on and win the playoffs. So there is that difference there with them.
Absolutely. I mean, Shoreline going to the division itself, a second. Shoreline will be a big force next season, undoubtedly so, in my humble opinion, in Division 1 South.
Yeah.
When it comes to Division 1 North, also this week, I spoke to Spennymoor Town's manager, Jason Ainsley, who wasn't in Spain. In fact, he was just finishing one of his lessons at school. So this was me talking to Jason in the week. So, winning the playoff in Division 1 North, the champions of the playoffs, if you will, at the end of the Spennymoor surge, Spennymoor victors this year in Division 1 North in the playoffs. And joining me now to discuss just what it was like to be the manager of such a surge, it's Jason Ainsley. Hello, Jason. How are you?
I'm great, Ben. Thanks very much. If you'd have asked me last week, I wouldn't have been as great. But yeah, now you're phoning me now, I'm over the moon, mate.
We'll go to the playoffs in a second or two, and the two matches that you had to get through to win the playoffs this year. But yeah. We mentioned the Spennymoor surge. We do have to mention it. I mean, it's been a marvellous second half to the season at Spennymoor.
It has. I think it was something like 57 points out of 70 since January the 2nd, which has obviously got us up, really. And I always remember the Farsley game on Boxing Day, and we got trounced 4-0, 0-0 at half-time, nothing in the game. And then the butchered his second half, and we're far better side than us. And I had this support in the far side going, Ainsley, pack your bags, it's time to go. And now I just wish I could see him now and say, yeah, I am packing my bags to the league higher, you know. So it doesn't matter what you do, it's a results-driven business, and times have been a little bit tough this year, and we've come through it and reaped the rewards at the end.
And when it's Spennymoor finishing second in the league, the league for a long time was a two-horse race, but then it quickly became apparent, because of that turn in form that Spennymoor had, that you could reel in Northwich, and did in the end, and overtook them up at the top to get home advantage in that semi-final. But Burscough, I think we recorded the show live last week when you were playing Bursko.
Right, okay.
And I said at half time, you've got to watch Bursko. They are a plucky side. And, well, it was a bit of a tricky one, that one, at first, wasn't it?
Well, we've said that all along. You know, we played the first time we came across them this season, we'd have the euphoria of beating Blyth in the FA Cup, and you know, and then it was a foregone conclusion that we'd beat Bursko the next round, and it certainly wasn't the case. I thought they were a very good side, organised, you know, two good forwards, and that proved that when they went the beaters at 2-0. But any team on a day in this league can beat anybody if you don't turn up and perform to the maximum of your ability. You know, some certain teams have got good players who will hurt you.
Now then, what about Saturday then, Jason? A 2-0 victory against Northwich Victoria at home in front of that home crowd there up in the northeast. What did it all feel like on the day?
Well, it was brilliant. I mean, going back to the Bursko game, you know, I said, just going back to that, sorry, Ben, I said the players before the game, you know, they've travelled 3 hours on the bus, you know, they're dangerous from set plays, don't give free kicks away, and then after 2 minutes, the game plan's gone out the window because we give free kick away, you know, they've turned up the sharper, we were not at the races, and sometimes you talk to your students, and I thought I was talking to my kids at school because none of the information that I passed on to the players sunk in, but fortunately we got through with that round, and the final was... You know, it was a brilliant occasion because, you know, I think there was about 1,400 in there, and you know, and there was a couple of hundred Darlington supporters who backed us because of this situation where we'd borrowed them the ground for the couple of games, and it was a big atmosphere. And Northwich had came on the back of a 3-0 win against us 2 weeks previous, and they were a tough side. You know, I think they're a top side, very organised, disciplined, and the cup players who, like I say, on the day could hurt you, but. We were excellent on the day. There wasn't much in it. Fine margin. We've scored at the right times in both halves. And that's sometimes what happens in playoff games. It wasn't the prettiest, but we got over the line.
And when it comes to getting over the line, you've been threatening this now for a couple of seasons. And it's now happened. Now we're in the Premier Division for next season. What's your expectations for next year at this early stage?
Well, I mean, I've watched a bit of the Premier League, obviously with Blyth doing ever so well and Darlington doing ever so well. Last year, we got all the plaudits. We were the better side on the day in the playoff against Darlington. Nobody will say any different, but you got the pat on the back and well done, but didn't go up. This year, we weren't so good in the playoffs and got promoted. So, you know, it's all about the results at the matter that at the end of the season. We've got to take our form on. We've got to speak to the players. There's a lot of lads out of contract who hopefully will continue and keep the journey going with Spennymoor. But we also know we're not naive that we stand still. Ben, we need to recruit well. We need to bring players in who I feel as though are going to, you know, be useful additions in that league. And who knows where it'll take us, because there's always some teams who shock you. Like, you know, like Bursko this year, like Clitheroe late on who nearly came into the playoffs. So it's a tough league. We know that. I'm not sitting here making predictions and saying we're going to do this, we're going to do that. We were close last year in the first division in our first season there, managed to get there this year. My ideal ambition would be to get in the playoffs, but I know that that's going to be a tough ask because there's some top sides in there.
Well, you mentioned player recruitment, and obviously before you came into the Evo Stick, the pedigree coming from the Northern League, winning it a few times in the last 10 years or so. With what happened with Darlington this year, they finished in exactly the same position, went up through the playoffs and won the league. I'm not suggesting you can win the league next season, Jason, but you never know. But you've got a pool there of players in that region, which you can... There is some talent up there, isn't there?
Yeah, you can, and like the chairman's one of them where, you know, the chairman's a statistician and he's great with that, and he said there, you know, Darlington went up, Salford have gone up now, Kers and Ashton the year before have all come through the Evo Stick first and had really strong seasons the following year in the Premier League, but I think the Northern League now is, you know, we've got to recruit the top players. And what I've learned as a manager now, I've got to bring in players who I actually think are going to get into the team rather than the squad, because you can't carry 25 top players. You've got to have, a hardcore 18, 19 who are all fighting for the jersey of playing the first 11. And we do have a decent recruitment area, but you know, a lot of the Northern League sides paid good money, and to sort of entice them sort of players, it's very difficult.
And when we talk about spending more off the pitch, I think the last time we spoke to you, just before, I think it was, I can't remember when it was, I think it was before Christmas, there was developments going on off the pitch at the club, all ready for going into next season off the pitch as well at spending more.
Yeah, you're right, Ben. I mean, it's a bit disappointing for me as a manager because, you know, you'd always like the pre-season friendlies against Sunderland, Newcastle, Middlesbrough, Hartlepool, et cetera, but there, we can't do that this year because the ground's getting redeveloped. I think the pitch is getting ripped up this Monday. Then we're getting a new stand. The main seat stand's getting new seats put in. So there's a lot of work going on in the summer at the ground, which will benefit us in the long run. But for a manager, you're playing away games in the friendlies, which, you know, sometimes you've got to take sacrifices and to make sure that you can entice players to come to the ground, which is nice to see.
Now, this is odd for me, Jason, because I've just interviewed the Colville manager, Tommy Brookhouse, and he's on holiday in Spain now. He's won the playoffs in Division 1 South, and he's decided to go on holiday. But judging by the wind, you're still in the northeast. Are you going to take some time off before the start of next season and regroup, or you're just going to bounce straight into it?
Well, I mean, I couldn't even, you know, Ben, the life of a non-league manager, I couldn't even celebrate with the players on the Saturday night because I had to do a school car boot sale on the Sunday morning. So that tells you now where I was, and there was only two sellers and the rain was pouring down, so that went down like a lead balloon as well. So I couldn't even celebrate then. No, I'm going to go away with the family in July. I'll probably have a week away in Spain, but the players are all going to Marbella in about 3 weeks, which, you know, the club sorts out the chairman, looks after them in that way, so that'd be nice. Unfortunately, I couldn't get a pass out because of school, so I'm going to be watching in envy.
Well, you're doing a good job on the pitch, and you're also doing a good job for society, Jason, so thank you. Jason Ains there, manager at Spennymoor Town. On behalf of all the listeners, a big congratulations on getting promoted to the Northern Prem, and we'll be hearing from you next season on the main show.
I really appreciate it. I really appreciate your support, Ben.
So, Spennymoor Town and Colville Town both going up in via the playoffs. When it comes to teams going from Division 1 North from the playoffs, obviously the last couple of years, in fact the last few years, there's a good track record of teams who've got promotion via the playoffs from Division 1 North and making a massive impact in the Premier Division the following season.
Without question, we've seen, you saw Kers and Ashton, but a team that I report on, Witton Albion, they did it when they got promoted in 2012. They ended up finishing in the Premier Division playoffs the following season. So it seems that I'm trying desperately not to use that word momentum. I'm going to keep saying that winning mentality. They're used to winning matches and they're able to carry that on. I mean, Spennymoor will look at what Darlington have done from a team from their neck of the woods. They'll see that Blyth have been really strong. It's a great moment that football in that part of the world is going through. And I expect Spennymoor to be strong as well, in the same way that we've touched on Warrington and Stafford. I think Spennymoor are equipped to do well. I'm sure Jason Ainsley will want to recruit and strengthen, but there's not a whole lot wrong with that side. They've scored more than 100 goals as well, 91 points. So they're in good nick, and I expect them to have a good season next year as well.
And when it comes to Colville, obviously the winners of Division 1 South playoffs last season were Sutton Coldfield. Sutton Coldfield have had a brilliant season this year. Better than Micklover, the champions of Division 1 South. So there's... Yeah. I think, speaking to Tommy, he's got his head screwed on, and I think Colville... they are in that Leicestershire kind of Rutland area that Barwell comes from. So it is quite possible. Yeah. It is quite possible that they could make an impact too.
I think so. And in the same way they made the point about Neil Kitchen at Stafford knows the Premier Division, Tommy Brookbanks does as well. I remember going to report on Vic's games when he was in charge at Elknell Town. He's a manager that he's a very experienced manager. He's been at a number of clubs, but he knows that level as well. So that definitely helps teams when you go in and they kind of know a little bit what they're letting themselves in for. So I don't see any reason why they can't look at, like say, Barwell, Sutton Cavill, Sutton Colford have done, and learn from that and be certainly safe and looking towards the upper end of the table. Why not? Definitely.
Now then, it's the last show of the season, and obviously this is the perfect opportunity to go. Who's been your favorite? Not favorite side isn't the right word, but who's been the most surprising packages this season, and who's been most disappointing? I'll throw in a couple of names from Division 1 South, but for starters, you go nuts for Division 1 North. Who do you want to single out for special treatment?
Yeah, I've got a couple of teams that I put an asterisk by to give a shout out. First up, the promoted team, Glossop North End, continuing that theme of teams that come up, continue with their winning ways. All right, they fell short in the end in the playoffs when they lost to Vic in the semi-final. But I think for a first season at this level, to finish fourth, to qualify comfortably for the playoffs, automatically now we'll look at them for next season to be challengers again for promotion. So well done to Chris Wilcock and his team there. Finishing just below them, and I would make I don't think this is an actual award, but I'd make a tentative shout for this guy being manager of the year, Mark Beasley at Bursko. Fantastic achievement, as we said, to finish in the top five, because including my good self, none of us would have predicted that at the start of the season. I had a quick look before we started recording where they finished last year. Bursko finished 15th. So a fantastic improvement from them. They deservedly finished in the playoffs. I mean, they were fifth and they finished 11 points clear of sixth by Lancaster. So they did it with some comfort. So a fantastic achievement from them. Obviously, the challenge now is, can they repeat the trick next year? They were the kind of a big surprise package this year, and that won't be the case next year. And obviously, there's always the challenge when a club unexpectedly does well, whether Mark can keep the group together. But well done to him. Fantastic. I think it's all right. They fell away in the final few weeks of the season, but I still think it's worth a major shout out to Simon Garner, who obviously has left Clitheroe now. They finished seventh, which is just in the end short of their best ever finish in the non-league pyramid. They did finish sixth a couple of years ago, but I think people at Clitheroe certainly have been saying that this is the best team that they think that the club's had, the best group that he's put together. So they finished seventh, okay, just short, but a fantastic season for them. Well done.
And just a special mention for Clitheroe as well, because at the MPL Awards, the only club, barring a couple of managers from Bamber Bridge, the only club to stay up late. So well done to them.
Well done. Yes. Well done. Just to flip the coin for a couple of teams who will be wondering what on earth has happened, I think a clear winner of that is Scarborough. They finished sixth last season. I know they made the Duton League Cup final and were just pipped by Marine, so they just missed out narrowly.
They were clearly a good side. When we watched them last week against Marine, they were really impressive.
And I think that's what gives them positivity going into next season. They changed the manager in the second half of the season, didn't they? Steve Kittrick's there now, and he'll now have a summer to... They did finish the season okay, although looking at the table, they've ended up 20th. But they will be hoping for a significantly better season next season, and he's a good man to have in charge to hopefully do that. The team that finished just ahead of them, Droylsden, they finished 10th last year, so it's been a tough old year for them, and conceding 139 goals. So it's no surprise what they'll be working on over the summer. A couple of other quick mentions. Bamber Bridge, of course, they finished third last season and ended up mid-table. We speculated they had all those games in hand, didn't they, at the turn of the year, and we thought if they go on a run, they might have a chance. It just never happened for them. Probably in the end, drew too many games, 12 games, only Lancaster drew more games. So that's your answer. And I think I have to give a mention as well to one of the teams I cover, Witton Albion, who you know, very clearly stated last summer that they were hoping to bounce straight back at the first opportunity after being relegated from the Premier Division. They ended up 11th. They have improved in 2016, like Scarborough have, but it remains the lowest position, the lowest points total that they've ever had since the Northern Premier League went to two divisions. So again, big room for improvement at Winchen Park. So that's the kind of two sides of the good season, bad season, if you like, that I would pick up.
Did you mention Lancaster City, by the way?
I didn't, and that's possibly a little unfair. I think you know, they do deserve a shout. They did end up sixth, and they did win seven of the last 10 games. I quickly checked that before I came on. So if you're looking for teams that maybe the season finished at the wrong time, they might be one. And yes, they also made a managerial change, didn't they, before Christmas?
Absolutely.
And it took a little bit of time for the new gaffer, to Phil Brown, to settle in. But in 2016, they've been one of the form sides. So do we look at them next season to be like Glossop, early shouts for promotion? I'd say so, yeah, why not?
Right, at this point I'm going to do my best to do my Robin Gray impression. Unfortunately, Robin Gray can't make it at the moment. We wish him and his family well at this moment in time. But thank you to Robin Gray all year for his enthusiasm, and every time he speaks it's like, "Way, football!" And that's what you want from a pundit. But here's my best impression of Robin Gray. A special shout out to the new teams who came into Division 1 South. The Evostick MPLs, it's in a weird place at the minute because it's moving further and further south, and we've all seen the predictions for next season for how the league might shape up, and We're just north of Watford at the moment in the Division 1 South. Yeah. Baisford United have had a cracking year, as have Rugby Town. Rugby Town had a bit of a shaky start, but they've had a couple of good cup runs as well, and they've been really excellent this season. Also mentioned to Lincoln United, who were in a two-in and throw-in with Chase Town, who themselves have had a good season, and finally Lincoln United got into the playoffs. I'd like to just mention as well, if I can, Stocksbridge Park Steels. You mentioned Lancaster City's run towards the end of the season. Stocksbridge Park Steels came out of the lower half of the table and put an unbelievable run together. I think they won 8 of the last 9 games and drew 2 of them. So they were in superb form. And plucky Romulus. Every year, Romulus, despite the success that Sutton Coldfield have had, Romulus hanging on in there, and not just hanging on in there, but actually thriving, finishing
top
in 10th.
Yeah, exactly.
And not far off from where they were last season. And at this time, I should mention the disappointments, and this is only in my humble opinion after speaking to a couple of people, you understand.
News on Twitter.
Leek Town once again, and Lee Caswell's left the club as well. It's kind of, they are a bit of a sleeping giant, Leek Town, who every year they should do it.
Yeah, they runners up last year. They should be challenging. So it's a big summer for them, and they'll be hoping to make the right appointment and hoping that they can be back up. I mean, they finished 63 points. They're absolutely miles behind Stafford and Shoreline at the top. And so they leaped second last year. So they're certainly one to look out for next season. Like you're dead right. They are a club historically that has played at a high level and will feel they should be in at least the Premier Division. But they've found Division 1 South a real bind to get out of, haven't they? They've been close a few times and not quite managed to get out of there.
And I've got a horrible feeling for Leek Town that next season's Division 1 South is going to be equally, if not slightly more competitive than it has been in previous seasons. And I don't really want to focus on the negatives. I think Kidsgrove Athletic have had a good season, considering where they were last season. Belper Town, you feel like Belper Town should be further up the table, perhaps, and Goole, you'd think they'd be further up the table.
Goole, definitely, yeah.
Well, yeah, that was my Robin Gray impression anyway. Hope you all like that.
It wasn't bad.
Yeah,
it wasn't
all right.
But slightly lower pitched.
yeah. I don't do punditry. Punditry is the hard work, dear listener at home, where you have to nail your colours to a mast, and I can't do that. But anyway, Andrew Simpson, thank you very much for joining us on this special Evo Stick Division 1 show, the last of the season. And thank you for coming on all year and, equally like Robin, sharing your enthusiasm for non-league football and keeping people informed and amplifying what non-league football is all about every month and every week.
It's been my pleasure, mate. I'm looking forward to a break, but then I'm sure I'll be raring to go again in a few weeks' time for next season.
And last plug for the Northwich Guardian and your Twitter feed, my friend.
Yeah, northwichguardian.co.uk/sport and keep an eye on and what I'm sure will never be a dull summer. It never is here. And at @Simo_on_sport and let's see what happens.
Andrew Simpson from the Mid-Cheshire Guardian, thank you very much for joining us this month on the Evo Stick Division 1 show. Well, that's it for this month's Evo Stick Division 1 show, and that's it pretty much for this season as well. Look out tomorrow, Saturday afternoon, for a end-of-season Evo Stick NPL show where we've got all the gang round the table at the Heat and Hop discussing the season that's just been for the Premier Division. But we hope you've enjoyed this month's Evo Stick Division 1 show. Remember, you can follow the show as a whole on Twitter, that's @NPL show, and you can get involved with all the discussions and chatter, that's at facebook.com/groups/the NPL. But that's it from me for this season following the Evo Stick Division 1. A special big thank you to both Andrew Simpson and Robin Gray for joining me on this season's show, and a big thank you as well to all the managers and all the listeners and all the journalists who cover this great tier of non-league football for joining me this season on the Evo Stick Division 1 show. A big thank you on behalf of everyone listening. But I've been Ben Hughes, and wherever you're going this summer to enjoy not the Evo Stick but just your life in general, make sure that you have a lovely summer. Goodbye.
With over 500 high-performance products in the Evo Stick range, you may need a bigger van. Evo Stick, the strongest adhesives you can buy.